It is indeed a blessed privilege to be able to be here with you this evening. I thank the Lord for the honor to be able to be with this precious congregation, for your pastor that I love. I can't tell you how much I love him. He's been my friend for a long time. I want to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. Brother Scott Richardson told me one time, and I've learned, try to listen to what he says. I told somebody one day he didn't get off a watermelon truck last night. He said, when you get up to preach, you tell what God's done for you. And that's what I pray this evening. The Lord grant me the grace to do. Romans 15, verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Every person born into this world, somewhere along the line, they have within their mental capacity, they've got something that is to them a hope. Hope. That word itself is defined as a favorable expectation, a confidence. It has to do, this hope, with the future. There is within every man, there's some kind of confidence when he starts thinking about life after life, or life after death. He starts thinking about, what am I going to rest my soul on? Or a believer, they say, who? This belief is based on something that he's been taught, something he knows, something he feels or thinks is the right thing. Now the problem with man, as he is born in Adam, is that he's incapable of knowing, perceiving the God of hope. The reason that he cannot know the God of hope, he's dead. He's dead. He's blind. Can't hear spiritually, can't see. He's dead. He's incapable of seeking God. No man seeks after God. Man by nature thinks he can, but the scriptures clearly reveal he can't. He's incapable of faithfulness. He's incapable of consistency, but in his mind, he has a hope. Man has some hope. Now, for an unbeliever in the Lord Jesus Christ, I know this. It's a false hope. It's based on what he can concoct in his mind. What he can come to some kind of mental thought process. Just, I thought through on this and I began to think about how every person, no matter what, every person that has a false hope, it's going to be based on his somehow, some religious experience. It's going to be based on, he's going to start thinking back on all of the self-righteous acts that he's done. Or if he can't go back to that, he's going to start today. I'm going to straighten up. I'm going to start acting. He's going to, a man builds himself a hope. I want you to turn to Job 27. Job 27. Job 27, beginning in verse 8. Job 27, 8. For what is the hope of the hypocrite? Though he hath gained, when God taketh away his soul. Will God hear his cry when trouble cometh unto him? Will he delight himself in the Almighty? Will he always call upon God? I will teach you by the hand of God, at which is with the Almighty will I not conceal. Behold, all ye yourselves have seen it. Why then are ye thus altogether vain? This is the portion of a wicked man with God, and the heritage of oppressors, which they shall receive of the Almighty. What hope does a wicked, ungodly man have before God? God takes his soul. Job 8:11 says this, can the rush, the reed, grow up without mire? Can the flag, the marsh grass, grow without water? Whilst it is yet in his greenness and not cut down, it withereth, becomes dry before any other herb. So are the paths of all they that forget God. And the hypocrites, the godless, the hypocrites' hope, that is their expectations, shall perish. Whose hope, a different word, two different words, hope. Second one means stupidity. Shall be cut off, whose trust or refuge shall be as a spider's web. Man by nature has created a hope, and he rests his eternal soul on what the scripture reveals is but a false hope. Something that he's created in his mind, and it's a false sense of security. And by definition, out of the book of Job, that hope is a confidence in folly or a confidence in stupidity. But for one that Almighty God has called out of darkness, he has a hope. And his hope is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of his hope. A man brought to consider the frailty of this life. I told Brother Don this. I said, I tell you what, the word that comes to my mind, the singleness the focus of the Lord Jesus Christ. John 14:6, the Lord said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And a believer, by the grace of God, holds on. I can't help but think about this passage of Scripture. This comes back to my mind so many times when Jacob was wrestling with the man, the Lord Jesus. And he said to Jacob, let me go. And Jacob, knowing I have one hope, he said, not unless you bless me. Let me go. No. Turn me loose, man. I can't. If I don't have you, I have nothing. If I don't have you, they listened. Some of his disciples heard what the Lord said. It was a hard saying. And he followed him no more. And the Lord looked at his disciples and he said, will you go away also? And Peter said, Lord, where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. Let me ask you this. Where will you go? A believer has a hope. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 1:2-3, we give thanks to God always to you, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope, of expectation, of confidence in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. Titus 2:13-14, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. Our hope. Our expectation, our confidence. Where are we going to go? So the believer's hope, Christ. He is our confidence. What is your confidence of acceptance with the God of all mercy? What is your hope? What is your expectation? What is your one hope? It's him. I have nothing else. There's nothing that I can say. There's nothing that I can do. There's nothing that I can think that's going to qualify me before. I am the way. Confidence. Job said in Job 19:25-27, for I know that my Redeemer liveth. Don, that's a good statement. I know. I told Brother Don a while ago, I said, you know, you think about talking about the God of all peace and comfort. I think about these two words right here that come back to my mind often. Everlasting arms. And I tell you at 2 a.m, boy, I'm telling you, the peace that passeth all understanding. Job says, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth, and though after my skin worms destroy the body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, not a stranger, it's him. It's him. Though my reins be consumed within me, or though it appears from a human point of view that all hope is gone, I know. Almighty God settles the heart of his people. Christ is our hope. But I've got a question. And this is my question. And for you that believe, this is your question. I know it is. How is that hope made to be my hope? I know, Bob, that he is the hope of his people. I know that. But how is he my hope? Paul says in Romans 15:13, now the God of hope, the God of hope. This is what I know. Hope. The Lord Jesus Christ. For him to be my hope didn't originate with me. It didn't start with me. The scripture says that we were chosen. Ephesians 1, 4 and 5. According as he hath chosen us in him. Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Almighty God, the God of all mercy, the Father of all mercy, it pleased him to choose, to set his affection, to love upon a people that were dug out of the same pit as every other person. It wasn't that we chose Almighty God. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ said. You didn't choose me. I chose you. To show mercy and compassion to whomsoever he would. The God of hope. My hope is not built upon my free will, my profession of faith, my self-righteous acts of the God of hope. Hope originates with God. The Lord of heaven, he did this that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. And he did it because he chose to. This is my hope. God Almighty chose, according to his own will, purpose, to show mercy to me. Christ is revealed to us. God Almighty, by divine revelation, by his Spirit, to that new creation, because flesh would never know and never believe, God saw fit, because it pleased him to. Born again. Born from above. Born because he chose to show mercy and grace. This is what I know. Salvation is of the Lord. All of grace. Redeemed as the possession of God Almighty. We're his. The possession of the Lord Jesus Christ. We were given him. He bought us. Redeemed us. The scripture says that we were out of the same lump. One vessel unto honor. I looked that word up. One vessel unto honor. Worth the cost. Worth the cost. When I stop and I even try to consider what was paid, to my shame, I can say all that I know, all that I can, and I can try to say it as honorably as I can. And to my disappointment, to my shame, I think to myself, I can't enter in to the debt he paid. But to him, he said, one vessel unto honor, another unto dishonor. But to those that he everlastingly loved and looked upon in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, worth the cost. What did it cost? It cost the blood of our blessed Savior. Revelation 5, 9, 4 and 20 elders. They sung a new song saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. The regenerated saint of God possesses hope. True hope. Chosen to possess that hope. Purchased by that hope. But that hope must be revealed to them. I don't have the capacity. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he asked them, who do men say that I am? They gave answers. Who do you say I am? Peter said, you're the Christ. And the Lord told Peter, and he said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven. Our hope. Our expectancy is Christ. Him himself. Source of it is God. Price of it, his blood. But let me ask you this. What's the evidence of it? I want to know. I'm sitting here and I'm listening to exactly what these scriptures are saying. What is the evidence of a good hope? How do I know that he's my hope? Now this is where the rubber meets the road right here. I know that God has a people. I know that he's chosen them. I know the Lord Jesus Christ has died for them. I know that he is the hope of his people. But here's what I want to know. What confidence do I have that he's mine? The scripture says, Now the God of hope filled you with all joy and peace in believing. Believing. I don't want to be blinded. I don't want to have that seared conscience that I've. This is serious. It's life and death. It's forever. Here is a promise to all that God Almighty has chosen to show mercy. They will be filled with joy and peace. Gladness. Not in what they've done, but what he's done. Not in what they've accomplished, and what he accomplished, what he purposed. And they possess joy and peace. Quietness is that word. They know that reconciliation has been made for them by the blood of Christ. And they settle down. And they believe God. They believe Him. Let me ask you this. You believe Him. Now that a Philippian jailer came to the Apostle Paul and he asked a question. And he said this, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Now I know that men could take that question and say, "You see there now, you see what it says, what must I do?" And they'll twist it and they're going to ask or say that there's going to have to be something that's going to have to originate with you. What must I do to be saved? When the Apostle Paul answered him, if the question that was asked him was stated like that, he would not answer it as he did. The Philippian jailer did ask him that, but let me tell you what he asked. What is the evidence? Obviously, if God's done something for me, something will happen. What is that? What is the evidence? What is the action that God's done something for me? And Paul said, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Almighty God grants, gives faith, and God's people believe Him. Abraham believed God. What did he believe? He believed that the righteousness of Christ was imputed to him. He believed that God had shown mercy to him. The God of hope filled you with joy and peace in believing. God's people believe God. And they do not sit back and start going over in their minds and start thinking back on things they've done for Him or accomplished for Him. They believe that God Almighty has saved them by His grace. And they rest. Faith. Faith is the substance. It's the ground. It's the confidence of things hoped for, expected. It's the evidence. It's the proof of things not seen, of accomplished deeds. Evidence. Proof of it. Christ is our hope. Given Him, given to us in Him by God. And I'll tell you this, our hearts are excited as we're taught by the Spirit of God a greater manifestation, understanding of His mercy to us for Christ's sake. I dare say that anyone will disagree with what I'm about to say, but I'm telling you, every time your pastor stands up and preaches to you a different passage, different text, different title for message, same gospel. And every time you hear it, you sit there And while you're listening, you're thinking to yourself, this message is sweeter. Tell me one more time, how many times have you heard of hope and confidence in Christ? How many times have you heard of mercy and grace? And every time you hear it, you say to yourself, you tell me one more time. Tell me one more time how God Almighty has shown mercy to me. I was thinking about that passage of Scripture just then. It went through my mind. I was thinking to myself, in that day of judgment, the great white throne judgment, and all men will be standing there. And it says, and the books will be open. All the books, all the record of man's rebellion, self-righteousness. And then it says in the book, and as soon as you heard the book, you thought, that's one I want to talk about. That's one I want to hear. Tell me again how God Almighty, before the foundation of the world, tell me one more time how God chose to show mercy to me. Tell me one more time how He gave me to the Lord Jesus Christ. Tell me one more time about the surety. I want to hear one more time how He came into this world. Tell me how the Word was made flesh. And He came into this world. And tell me one more time how, as my federal head, as He represented me, tell me one more time how, as He obeyed God in every word and thought and deed, and knowing that He has always stood for me, and He's always answered for me. And tell me one more time how that voice was heard from heaven. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And tell me again how God Almighty has always looked upon me in favor, being found in Him. And tell me one more time the evidence of God having done something for me is that I believe Him. Tell me one more time how God grants faith to believe Him. Tell me one more time how He made sin. How there upon that tree. Tell me one more time how He suffered as my substitute. My mother sitting here tonight. I've used this illustration before. I'm going to use it again. If my mother had committed murder and was sentenced to die, and I, being her loving son, said, I'll tell you what, I'll just die instead of, I'll die, you know, and just. And I was electrocuted, and she went free. Someone said, that's substitution. No, it's not. Because then they'll just look at her and just say, well, she got off. Her son just, you know. But if I could be made Marion Stoniker and die as a substitute, that's substitution. He made him sin, who knew no sin, that I might be made the righteousness of God. Tell me one more time how God Almighty has shown mercy to me. And then I want to hear one more time, tell me it was all of grace. And don't tell me what I've got to do for God, because I know that there's nothing in me. There dwells no good thing. The God of hope filled you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope. How? Through the power of the Holy Ghost. The joy and peace in believing God. Has been taught me by God Himself, that has revealed to me the Lord Jesus Christ. And my heart this evening, I want to feast on Him. I want a taste of Him. I want to drink of Him. God Almighty, teach me again tonight. Help me. Allow me the privilege to be able to hear one more time of sovereign grace. The God of hope. For Christ's sake. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Take your Songs of Grace books. Turn to number 114 if you will.